Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you. And we do know exactly where all good things come from. They come from you. Now, Lord, as we enter into your word, the word that sanctifies us, the word that completes us, guides us, transforms us, renews us, restores us. Lord, that you just guide us and direct us. We just pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'll be honest. I was troubled this week. So, Team Jesus here, I wanted us to, you know, I felt we needed to talk about the vote last week, and now we need to talk about the election results this week and have the right perspective. Because, like I said, I wrestled with many feelings this week. Now, I've entitled this sermon, "Let Your Heart Not Be Troubled." Now, Jesus spoke these words in John 14:1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Like I said, I had to be honest with you guys, and I wrestled with a lot of feelings this week. And I'll flat out say the Joe Biden and the Democratic Party, if they are going to be the party in charge, they stand for everything they stand for is against what I believe. Just flat out. I know socialism versus our freedoms as a republic are on the line. But here's what really I wrestled with. Under the Obama administration, a lot of things changed. They promised that. They ran on changing, transforming the country. And they accomplished quite a bit. But one thing that came under the Obama administration to our country was Christian persecution. Christian businesses started to be targeted under that administration. Targeted for what we believe, what we stand for. Right there under that administration, the freedom of religion that we have in this country started to be eroded. Under the Obama administration, social agendas took root and really started to grow to the point that it got so insane that men could use the bathrooms of ladies in their locker rooms. I don't know if you've noticed, we were being hit with a lot of things during those 8 years under President Obama. In the last 4 years, we haven't heard of any of that stuff. I mean, there's still things going on, but the decay that we talked about last week, it was slowed down in the last 4 years. Now, looking at a possible Biden presidency, I know we're going to go back to Obama's policies, many of them. I know that it's going to probably even go beyond Biden's or Obama's policies. There's a lot more far left people now in that party than was before 4 years ago. So I was greatly troubled. Biden here this week said he had a mandate that the election, he was acting like the whole country was behind him. He had a new mandate. First thing he talked about was the virus. Taking on and destroying the virus. So national mass mandates are probably coming. Maybe even further lockdowns of the whole country. There's lots of things been said there. He also has a mandate for man-made climate change. Now, I don't believe in man-made climate change. Yes, the climate changes. We can prove that with science. I can prove with science that the North and South Pole used to have palm trees. Talk about a warm-up. We can prove that with science. Science has proven that the North Pole used to have conditions like Miami. The climate changes over time. It's not man-made. But now they say it's man-made and they want the Green New Deal. That's going to radically change our country. It's going to take our economy from a capitalism to socialism. But then here he named one more thing that he had a mandate on. And this really caught my attention. Racism. Now, they have been arguing for 4 years now that the country just is racist from top to bottom. And I don't agree with that. Do we have racism here? Well, yes. There's always racists on both sides, of all colors. But what's interesting this last week is that they have to, he says he has a mandate to get rid of racism in this country. But what's interesting is who they're calling racist. And it's those who support Trump, which is almost half the country. How are you going to fix the problem? Not sure what he means by some of his rhetoric. Those were the thoughts going through my head. So my heart was troubled. And I went to the Lord saying, Lord, I'm feeling this way. Many people in the church are probably going to feel this way. But it's my responsibility to stand up and go, don't let your heart be troubled. How can I do that when my heart's troubled? So in prayer and everything, God took me to this scripture. Let your heart not be troubled. So I started reading this chapter. And Jesus also said something else in this chapter in verse 27. Peace I have with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's a peace that can only come from God. This world can't give you peace. It can have temporary peace at times, and there can be peaceful situations, but overall, when things are going bad, nothing in this world can give you peace. But Christ can give us peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. I've shared the story when the night before my daughter was supposed to have surgery that she probably wasn't going to survive and she was going to die, the doctors told us. The night before that, the worst night of my life, a peace rolled over my heart. I can't describe it to this day. But it gave me strength. I knew my Lord was with me, whether it turned out positive or negative. I had strength. I had a peace. We have to stay focused as a church, especially as Christians. Now, the other side, the Democratic side, is telling us now, Biden got out and said it, that we all need to have, now the election, it's been bad, but now we need to be united. Well, 4 years ago they weren't saying that. But now we're supposed to do what they didn't do. And now I've heard the other side, conservatives, I've heard some big time conservative media people and others saying, no way. They're going to treat Biden like they treated Trump. There's already calls for violence on both sides. And I know how they treated my candidate. And my flesh would like to return the favor. But we're not led by our flesh anymore, are we? We're led by the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on God. And we have to show something to everybody. To the people on our side that are filled with hate. To the other side that's filled with hate. we stand in this nation. And we're going to have to set the example. I don't know if Trump's going to, legal actions are going to prove that there was fraud and things are going to work out and he's going to stay president, or I don't know how any of that's going to work out. But at this point, it doesn't matter for us. In the aspect, I'm not saying our lives are not going to get more difficult. I believe they will. But it doesn't matter who's sitting in the White House. Our mandate from God never changes. Our identity in Christ never changes. And whether we have the freedoms or they get stripped away from us, it doesn't matter. We have a mandate to be salt and to be light. And we can do that under any president, under any party who's in charge. As I was pondering this, God brought Daniel to my mind. Especially Daniel when he was before Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Go ahead to the next slide, Levi. There we go. Daniel was a young man. He's a godly man. And he's there serving under a king who is not godly at that point. Powerful too. Most powerful man on the planet at that point. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And it rattles him. It scares him. So the next morning, he calls all the magi, all the wise men to him. He says, "Hey, I had a dream last night. I want you to tell me what it was, what its meaning is." Babylonian wise men said, "Well, tell us. Tell us the dream, and then we'll tell you the meaning." And Nebuchadnezzar says, "I don't remember the dream. You tell me what I dreamed and the meaning." They're like, "We can't do that." And then he basically tells them they're frauds, and he's going to kill them all if they don't do what he says. Daniel was in this group of men. He wasn't highest ranking in this group, but he was part of the wise men in the council. And the other guy said, "Wait a minute, there might be one guy we know of that can do what you're asking. We can't do it, but there might be one guy." So they went to Daniel and said, "Daniel, you got to do this. If you don't do this, we're all going to die." So Daniel goes to prayer. God reveals to him the vision that he had given Nebuchadnezzar and the meaning. And Daniel goes before this great king. And I'm not going to go into all the meaning of the vision or any of that, but I want to focus on what Daniel said. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings.'" The kings are not in charge. God is in charge. "He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. And light dwells with him." God is in charge. And I want to look at him removing kings and bringing kings up today. And that there's great wisdom to look to the Lord. But this aspect where he says he knows what is in the darkness. He knows what may be coming our way. In our country now, the social agendas are going to shift like they were under President Obama. And we might be dealing with a lot of things coming our way that we're going to have to stand up and be strong. Our country, the slippery slope, the decay might speed up once the Democrats are in charge. It's going to get dark. And again, these people are not our enemies. The enemy is Satan and his dominions and the principalities and powers. The lie that so many people bought into this world. Our real enemy is spiritual. It's not flesh and blood. And if Biden becomes our president, Christian, we are mandated to pray for him. That doesn't feel good, does it? But who's our king? You see, if we go with our flesh and we go with our heart's desire not to be obedient to our king, we're making ourselves king. And that wouldn't be smart. It's easy to be a Christian when things are good. Not so easy when things get hard. But this is the time we've been called to. And if God in His sovereign wisdom has raised up one king and now He's raising up another, we need to be willing to accept that and stay focused on our king. Because times might be getting dark spiritually. I'm sure all of you can see this light, right? Okay? It's not a big light. Didn't change the lighting in here. But you can see it. Now, how much more do you think you'll see this light if we stayed here and the sun went down and all the lights in here were turned off? Would you be able to see it even more? Yes, because the darker it gets, the brighter it's going to shine, even though it doesn't change in intensity. Folks, we have an opportunity here as the church to really show Jesus Christ, to really show our faith. The election didn't go our way. It still might, it's a possibility, but let's just say it doesn't. And our country is going to continue that decay like never before. We're going to shine. God removes kings and raises up kings. Looking at Biden and Trump, both these men can be used by God. Do you believe that? God has used many world leaders, even bad ones. Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Herod, Pilate. He used them not because they were godly men, but He used them and overall to His will and plan done. Like I said last week, I don't think either one of these men is a godly man. But God can use them. And I think He has. And I think He will. What He focused on my heart this week, what we kind of revealed to me from Scripture is about these two men and God's will. And why we don't have to be troubled because our side didn't win. As I pondered the possible end of Trump's time and the beginning of Biden's time as president, God took me to a certain passage. A passage that had actually slipped my mind a little bit, that we had spoken about this passage several weeks ago. And I'd actually forgotten we had. But God took me back to it. And He took me through it. And what He showed me, my troubled heart went away. I was at peace. I still wasn't happy, but I was at peace. And I want to share that with you this morning. The passage I'm talking about is Ezekiel 38. We talked about this several weeks ago. Ezekiel 38 is a prophecy. And I want to go through it and I want to show you two things. One about Trump and one about Biden that I believe are going to take part in this prophecy. Ezekiel 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, that's Ezekiel, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tabal, and prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaw, and lead you out with all your army, horses, horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Here there is a northern commander, a man, charge of a great army. His name is Gog, the land of Magog, prince of Rosh. This prophecy tells us that God is at work here. And this Gog, whoever he may be, God is going to use the circumstances of life, of world events, and this is going to come about. There's this northern commander who's going to lead a coalition of nations against Israel. Ezekiel 38, verse 5. Persia is with this northern commander. Your Bible might say Ethiopia or Sudan or Cush. And Libya, or Put, are with them. All of them with shield and helmet. Gomer on his troops, the horse, the Togarmah from the far north and all his troops. Many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be on guard for them. So these countries that are named here, when Ezekiel wrote this, the countries that were there, go to the next slide, is what we see right here. Okay? Rosh, where he's the prince of, is Russia. And Magog, these are all Russian, former Russian territories. Persia is Iran. Turkey is Tubal and Gomer. Put is the area of Libya. And Cush, Sudan, Ethiopia. And little Israel right there in the middle. So this northern commander is going to have all these people with him, and they're going to come up against Israel. When does this take place? Ezekiel 38, verse 8. In the latter years, this is Old Testament for end of days, the end times. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. Who are living on the mountains of Israel who have been gathered back from all the nations? Jews. Israel. Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations. Israel, before 1948, was a wasteland. Very few people lived in the majority of what we call Israel today. It was a wasteland. But now it's not. They've been brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Remember that phrase. That's very important for today. Now they dwell safely. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, talking about Gog, and you will make an evil plan. An evil plan. What is that? Verse 11. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely. There it is again. They dwell safely. All of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty. They want to come in and steal the wealth of Israel. And if you know anything right now, Israel is extremely wealthy. God has blessed them, as he said, when they come back in the land, when he brings them back, he's going to bless them greatly. And he has. Their technology is some of the best in the world. They have more oil and natural gas than maybe even Saudi Arabia. Their vineyards, their fruits, their farms, the land is grown green. They are prosperous. And their technology, especially for making water, is an envy of all the Middle East. In the latter days, a coalition of nations led by Russia, Turkey and Iran will invade to steal. They're going to invade when Israel is dwelling safely in the land. They're going to invade to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Go to the next slide. So here we go. Little Israel is going to be hit. Now, what's interesting right now is that this invasion will come from the north, at least the bulk of it. Right now in Syria, there are Russian troops, Iranian troops, and Turkish troops. It's never happened before, ever, in human history. But that's not even the... I've shared that with you before. We've seen that for the last 2 years. But still, they're there. So on the last day, this invasion will come. So how does Trump and Biden, how does our presidential election play into this? Well, let's first start with President Trump and Israel. In this prophecy, it says Israel is dwelling safely in the land. Now, if you know the history of Israel since they came back into the land, it's been nothing but war. They've never dwelled safely. From the very beginning in 1948, when the United Nations gave them the land back that was now then called Palestine, gave them the land back that was desolate and no one was living there. There were no Palestinians that got kicked out. There's no such thing as Palestinians. That's a topic for another day. There was nobody in the land. But the Arabs weren't going to have the Jews back in their homeland. So as soon as the Jews got there and the British left, who were in charge of the land after World War II, the Arabs attacked. And Israel was fighting for her life from the very first day in 1948. And they won. Then in 1967, six nations... and were like 10 nations in support, all Arab, all Muslim, attacked Israel in 1967. Overwhelming odds. Israel should have been wiped off the face of the earth. And that's exactly what they wanted to do. But in 6 days, Israel defeated them. Pushed them back. Recaptured Jerusalem. Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights. God says, once I bring them back, they will be established, they will be uprooted no more, and I will guard them as a good shepherd. And he did in 6 days. Beyond all military knowledge and wisdom, Israel won. And then in 1973, the Yom Kippur War, again, they were attacked and they won. Israel's never dwelt in the land safely. She's always been surrounded by her enemies. Until this last year. Go to the next slide, Levi. Egypt, which took part in those wars, finally gave up trying to destroy Israel and has a peace treaty with Israel. That's been in place for a while, about 25 years. Jordan, who also took part in the fighting, has a peace treaty with Israel. But since then, last 20 years, there hasn't been any other Muslim countries, Arab countries, joining this until this last year. Under President Trump, a president, a king that God raised up, you know, I'm not saying he's a real king, I'm referring to Scripture, as a leader, God used Trump to bring about what no one would have ever imagined. Muslim countries wanting to be at peace with Israel. Started with the UAE, United Arab Emirates. All nations that have attacked Israel, all nations who have tried to wipe Israel out in the past. Bahrain, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Lebanon, they're all starting to sue for peace. Israel now is surrounded. The countries that are on the first ring around her are all at peace or pursuing peace with her. For the first time since she's been back in the land, the fulfilling of the prophecy of 1948, the dry bones come into life. Israel's back in the land and she is dwelling safely like never before. Like ever before. She's there. Look at these agreements. UAE. Go to the next slide. UAE. All right. Then, next slide. Lebanon. That's no one on the world stage saw this coming. Next one. Bahrain and Oman. Netanyahu thanks Egypt for their support. It just keeps going. Next one. They're all just lining up. The next one, Levi. And then finally, the big one. One more. Saudi Arabia. But we know that these smaller countries that are entering in peace treaties, none of them could have done it without the thumbs up from Saudi Arabia. The green light. Israel has never been more safe today than today in the last since 1948. She is the safest she's ever been in the land. She is dwelling safely. Her enemies, Iran, Turkey, they're on the outer ring. But on the inner ring of countries, she's safe. And we can say thanks to Donald Trump. These new peace treaties, they are pieces of this prophecy falling into place. Namely, Israel is dwelling in the land safely. Looks like God used Donald Trump to bring about this condition for this prophecy to take place, that Israel is dwelling safely. Now let's look at Biden, how Biden might play a role in this prophecy. Ezekiel 38, verse 11. You'll say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. Verse 12 there, to take plunder, to take booty. This is Gog, this is an evil plan. But look at what it says next. Verse 13. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and their young lions will say to you, will say to Gog, the commander of this coalition of nations, they will say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty? To carry away silver and gold? To take away livestock and goods? To take great plunder? What's going on here? These nations listed here, we know some of them exactly who they're talking about. The merchants of Tarshish and the young lions, there's a little bit of debate there, but Sheba and Dedan are enough. They're protesting this invasion. They're protesting. But they're not part of the invasion. That's the point. And it's a huge point when you find out who Sheba and Dedan are. Go to the next slide. Sheba and Dedan are modern-day Saudi Arabia and all her satellite nations. This is the nation at the center of the Muslim faith. Mecca, the most holy spot, holy place in Islam, is in Saudi Arabia. These are Arab countries here that used to attack Israel, who used to want Israel off the face of the map, face of the earth and off the map. Now, they're not attacking Israel, even though others are. They're protesting this attack. In the past, they supported attacks and were part of the attack. Now they're protesting it. So it's almost like they're standing with Israel, which has baffled people with studying this prophecy. How could these countries, we always knew they'd become friends of some kind or have some sort of treaty because they're protesting the invasion, when before they've been part of the invasion in times past. You see, these peace treaties that are coming into place, this new time of peace with Israel, these peace treaties are not military treaties where they'll come to the defense of Israel. They're more about economics and just general conditions of having peace with Israel. So here they're protesting. But this prophecy is telling us in the future, a time is going to come when these nations who once were enemies of Israel, have opposed Israel's right to even exist, will no longer be enemies of Israel. And we are starting to see that happen right now. These nations, beyond all belief, are making peace with Israel. But here is where Biden may play a role. Let's go back to verse 13. We know who Sheba and Dedan are. Merchants of Tarshish, I've traced them and others to parts of southern Europe. This can include maybe going into Europe. Some have said the young lions are the countries that have come off of European nations, such as the United States of America, coming from Great Britain. There's debate there. But it really doesn't matter. Here's what matters. In the latter years, a coalition of nations led by Russia, Iran, and Turkey are going to invade. Nations who used to be the enemies of Israel are at peace. Israel's dwelling safely in the land. We see that right now. But what we also see in this is that even though there are nations protesting this, not one nation comes to the defense of Israel. Not even the United States of America, who is her only and greatest ally. We don't even come to her defense. We talked about this several weeks ago. And I gave reasons why we may not, why how this is going to happen where the United States doesn't come to the aid of Israel when she's attacked. And I gave you two scenarios. One, I said we might have a new administration that doesn't support Israel. That was a possibility. Two, the U.S. is no longer a world power. Something has happened to us. An attack, maybe a collapse of our nation, the economic or political. Or maybe in the near future, I said, we stop being the United States and become the divided states of America. Somehow, we are not there for Israel. And as I was asking God, why? It's been so nice for the last 4 years. They haven't. We've had the freedoms to share the gospel and freedoms to be in church. And the decay had been slowed down. We had more time to reach our people. Why now would you let the other side take back over? Why, God? Just as God used President Trump to fulfill some of the conditions of this prophecy, namely that Israel is dwelling safely. And as he raises up one king, excuse me, brings one down, raises one up, Biden has already stated that he's going to reverse many of Trump's policies. And we already know from the platform of the Democrats that they do not support Israel. So looking at these two men, one was used possibly to bring peace so Israel is dwelling safely. Maybe Biden has been raised up to turn America's back on Israel so that this prophecy can take place. You see, with that understanding, I'm not saying that's exactly what's going to happen, but that's what God just rolled over my heart. And when he did, and I saw, oh, Trump, Biden playing the prophecy. But the prophecy is bigger than Trump and Biden. God is in control. He's working his plan. And it just brought peace. It just brought peace. God's in control. We stay focused on him. He gave us 4 years under Trump to strengthen ourselves and prepare ourselves for what might be coming. Might be getting difficult for us as Christians here. Are you ready? Is your faith ready to handle what may be coming our way? I hope the last 4 years you've grown in your faith. You're solid. You know what you believe. You know how to share it. You're ready to make your stand. But as I found peace in why maybe Trump, God let Trump down and Biden to rise up, I found peace here. Maybe these two men are putting the conditions for this prophecy in place. God's in control. But there's another aspect real quick I want to show you about this. Right now, as believers in Jesus Christ, this is not the time for us to be filled with anxiety, fear, or doubt. We need to be focused on what we're here. Time may be very short. This prophecy happens in the last days, in the latter years. The pieces are already falling into place. How close are we? We may not have a lot of time left to reach people. So we better stay focused on that. But also, since this is going to happen in the latter years and we're starting to see this prophecy, literally the pieces falling into place, what happens to the church in the latter years? Ezekiel 38, verse 8 says, this prophecy is in the latter years, near the end of days. We're seeing it form right before us. So what happens to the church in those last days before the end? What happens? What? Say it with some conviction. The rapture. If we're this close, one, we're running out of time to reach people. We should be trying to reach everyone we can. But if we're also this close, too, the second point is we're almost out of here. Play.
Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
Hey, a bunch of you jumped again. Some of you jumped who've seen this two or three times. Folks, the rapture is real. Enoch was raptured. Elijah was raptured. Philip was raptured. It's not a new teaching of the Bible. It's where our hope is. I believe we've been in the days of sorrow for a while now. As Matthew chapter 24 talks about. The days before the end. The birth pains. And we're starting to see many of the signs of the times converging together. They're all happening. We're seeing another prophecy from Ezekiel that it's going to happen in the last days. Pieces lining up. And we know Jesus said, before the end, I'll come for you. Let's go back to where we began. John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's not his second return, his second coming return to the earth. That's him coming in the clouds to receive us here on the earth to himself, to be taken back to the place he has prepared for his bride, the church. And that happens before the tribulation period, in the latter days. God may have used Trump, and I believe he has, to fulfill part of this prophecy. He might use Biden and the Democratic Party to have this country turn its back on Israel. But until that day happens, until that trumpet sounds, we remain his church. We remain his team on the field. We remain Team Jesus. We remain Team Jesus. Levi, we remain Team Jesus. Yeah, he clapped. He's like, yeah, Dad. We got to stay focused. I hate that our guy didn't win. Now, I don't want to be arrogant there, hopefully. I'll say I'm upset that my guy didn't win. I don't want to put it on you if you didn't, but it doesn't matter, because my king is still king, and he is king alone. And all I want to do, whatever time I have left, whether living in a republic or in a socialistic state, whether having a Republican for president or a Democrat, whatever time I have left to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see people hear the truth, it's all that matters. To stand with my brothers and my sisters, to stand with my fellow teammates. And the God who is in our corner, the God who is behind us, the God who goes before us, the God who's on both sides of us, is bigger than anything in this world. And we have nothing to fear. Jesus is our King. Let us focus on Him. Let's sing this last song. Join me, please.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing. My King to die for me.
That trumpet could sound this week. If there is anyone in here, Jesus said, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. It's a transformation of the heart, the soul, the mind. It's what we call being saved, but it's so much more, because that term has lost its meaning in today's culture. Because all you have to do is say a prayer and have gone to church sometime, or just believe and you're okay. No, you must be born again. There must be this moment with God when the truth of the gospel changes who you are. You must have a born again moment. It's real. And it's not just saying a prayer. If you don't know if you've been born again, you need to come talk to me. Because that trumpet could sound, and I don't want any of you left behind. But until the trumpet sounds, we have a mandate. We have a cause. We're a team for a reason. It's not just waiting our time until the trumpet, but to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what our Lord, our King, has told us to do. He's given us His Holy Spirit to be His witnesses. Stay focused, church. Remind me to stay focused. These are troubling days. It might be difficult days coming. We have to stay focused. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift Your name up. We thank You that You are King. Who would have ever heard or thought a king would die for His people? But Lord, You did. You have done that for us. And that's something we can never thank You enough for. But what we can do, Lord, is live for You, to honor You. And I ask You to help us to do that, Lord. And Lord, as Your people, we want to trust in You 100%, even when we don't understand what is happening. But today, from Your Scripture, from Your presence, Your Spirit, maybe You've given us a little wisdom, a little insight on what is going to play out on the world scene. That we can trust You as You raise kings up and as You take them down. And Lord, I ask You to help us. Both sides in this country are literally at odds and hate one another. But Lord, You've not called us to hate, but to love. We don't have to love what the other side represents. But Lord, we are to love the people. They're not our enemies. I ask You to help us, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of hatred and nastiness, Lord, that we can show love to both sides. That we can stand as Your people, leading the way, truly being salt and light. We ask, Lord, You to help us to do this. We pray this in Your name. in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming. Let's go play the game this week. It's our best game this week. Count of three. 3, 2, 1, play. Let's go.